stand corrected. Casey didn't go where Sasha was. Sasha went where Casey was. That makes a whole lot more sense now, doesn't it? If you have ever read really any religious periodicals, especially if you've read any of our brotherhood periodicals, you've encountered no doubt the word discipleship. The word discipleship comes from the root word disciple, and a disciple is a student or a learner. And if we say a disciple of Jesus, then they are a student or a learner of Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the rest of the 12 were disciples. They were students of Jesus. The multitude who sat at Jesus' feet were disciples. They were students of Jesus. And of course, you and I are also disciples, separated by a couple of thousand years. But we also are students of Jesus. And then when we learn the lessons of Jesus, we become Christians. Now, that's not real easy to understand, and it's certainly not real easy to explain, but that's the way it is. We are students, then we become Christians. We are learners, then we become followers. And the classic passage is Acts 11, verse 46, talking about Barnabas and Paul. And then he, that is Barnabas, found Paul and brought him to Antioch, so that they were there a whole year and assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples, the students who believed the message of Jesus as brought by Barnabas and Paul, became Christians. They were called Christians for the very first time in Antioch. But being a disciple is not something that we're just born into. When we come home from the hospital, we're not just automatically disciples of Jesus. When we begin school, we're not just automatically disciples of Jesus. But when we are born again, using the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, something begins to happen. And Paul tells us that as little born babies, new babies in Christ, we grow up into all things in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Now, the concept of being a disciple, a student, a learner, can go in many different directions. It might be just as simple as reading our Bible before we go to bed at night. That makes us a disciple. It's as easy as maybe talking to your neighbor about the teaching of Jesus Christ. It could be that easy. Or it could be as life-changing as deciding I'm going to a foreign mission point. So the concept of being a disciple, a student of Jesus, can take many, many different directions. Now, we use that as our introduction. Now I want to introduce our premise statement. Brethren, I don't think Christians, that's us, I don't think Christians should ever stop being disciples. I think even after we come to Jesus, we've learned the message of Jesus, we've accepted the challenge of being a Christian, even after we've been baptized into Christ, we still need to continue to learn just as much as we possibly can about Jesus. We need to continue to study, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or as Jesus says, we need to search the scripture, John 5, 39, because in the scripture, in God's word, we find everlasting life. And of course, those noble Bereans searched the scripture daily to prove the things they were being taught was true, Acts 17, verse 11. So brethren, even when we are Christians, when we are mature Christians, we still need to retain that student of Jesus Christ attitude in our heart. There's never too much that we can learn about Jesus. Now, let me ask you some questions, and admittedly, this will be rather silly, but I'm going to try to make a very important point. Have you ever heard of these men? Have you ever heard of Cooper Rush? Probably not. Have you ever heard of Davis Webb? Probably not. The next one I'll mention, I bet some of us have heard of, but only because he's a cousin to Lou Ann Douglas. Have you ever heard of Colt McCoy? These men are all backup quarterbacks in the NFL. In fact, they're all third string quarterbacks in the NFL. We haven't heard of them because they never play. They play for the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Washington Redskins, but we don't know them because they don't play. Now, here's a much easier test. Have you ever heard these names? The first one, Shamua, and I'm sorry, I have to call a joke time here. No, Shamua is not the wife of Shamu the killer whale, okay? Shamua, Saphath, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, Sether, Nebii, Guel. These are all Bible names. Aren't you familiar with them? There's only two more in the list. Joshua and Caleb. That's exactly right. We haven't heard of the other 10 because they didn't do anything. They certainly didn't do what God wanted them to do. They did not walk in faith as did Joshua and Caleb. Now we get to our text of the lesson. Our text is in John 13, verse 17, or John 13, the middle of the chapter. This is the time that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Reading from verse 17, the Bible says, after the meal, Jesus removed his outer clothing, poured water into a basin, and began washing the disciples' feet. And we know that story very well. As soon as he got to Peter's feet, everything was going fine. But when he gets to Peter's feet, he said, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus explained something to Peter, and then Peter responded, then don't stop with my feet, wash all of me. And Jesus here was teaching them a lesson. In fact, he says to them, do you understand what I've done for you? He's teaching them a lesson. He wants to know, though, do you understand? He also said this was done as an example for you to follow. And in conclusion, verse 17, he says, now that you know these things, blessed are ye that do them. So, the lessons of Jesus. Do you understand? Do you realize these are given for us to follow? These are our examples. These will cause us to be blessed. Brethren, Christianity is an active religion. In fact, I love the way Jesus says it. I love the way James says it. We're to be doers. We're to be active. We're to be diligent. We're to be busy. We're not supposed to be pew sitters. We're not supposed to be fence straddlers or people watchers. As James said in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So disciples are to be doers. We're to do what needs to be done. And one of the things that needs to be done is to build up the body of Christ. I am so thankful that so many of our men in their public prayers remember to pray for this congregation in our effort to build up the body of Christ. Build us and make us stronger and build up and make us more numerous. There's a poem I have alluded to it quite a few times in the years I've been here. I don't think I've ever read it, though. But I want to read it today. It's called The Builders. It's written in the first person. I saw them tearing a building down, a team of men in my own hometown. With an old heave-ho and a mighty yell, they swung a beam and the whole wall fell. I said to the foreman, are these men as skilled like the ones you would use if you wanted to build? He laughed and said, oh no, indeed. The most common labor is all I need, for they can destroy in a day or two what it took skilled builders many years to do. So I thought to myself as I went on my way, which one of these roles am I willing to play? Am I going to be the one that's tearing down as I carelessly make my way around? Or am I the one who builds with care in order to make the world better because I was there? Now, remembering that poem, applying it to our lesson, and let me say this. I know that Jesus had one mission when he came to the earth. I know that. But I want to subdivide that one mission into two different sections. Jesus came, first of all, to offer salvation. He said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. But he also came to build. I will build my church, and even the gates of hell themselves will not prevail against it. Brethren, that's what you and I have been called to do. We've been called to bring people to Jesus and let his word convince them of their spiritual need. And our job is also to build the church. Disciples need to do more than just believe. I'm afraid that concept is getting stronger in the church, thinking, well, all I have to do is just believe. Rather than getting back to what we said a moment ago, Christianity is an active religion. It's not a passive religion. We must believe, but our belief must cause us to do things. We need to edify and encourage. We need to build up and support. We need to help and nurture and comfort and teach and admonish. In other words, we need to use the talents and the abilities that God has given us. You know, a lot of times when you watch the Olympics and someone wins a gold medal and they start to interview them, they will say, well, first of all, I want to thank God who gave me the talent to use in this Olympic. In fact, in a lot of sporting events, you hear, I want to thank God for this God-given talent. Well, brethren, you and I need to thank God all the time for the blessings he bestows upon us. And every one of us has some talent, some ability, and we all have the same need to seek and save the lost and to build up the body of Christ. Maybe your ability is in the area of worship. You need to use that ability. Maybe it's in the area of service. You need to use that ability. Maybe it's in the area of evangelism. You need to use that ability. We need to thank God for using the talents that he has given us in the first place. It's like God has given us our wealth. He has given us our ability also. We need to use it for him. The highest honor, the most glory that we can bring to the Lord is to use for him and for his cause the talents and the abilities that he has bestowed upon us. So we're called not only to be disciples, we're also called on to make disciples. Matthew 28:18, go and make disciples. Mark 16:15, go and preach the gospel. Luke 24:47, preach to all nations. Acts 1:8, be my witnesses to all the earth. In other words, we are disciples and we are to make disciples. And that's what we need to be, students. Learners. Even when we learn the message of New Testament salvation, we continue to learn so that we can help others in their search as well. So we have to be disciples. But we have to be good disciples. We have to be diligent in that. We need to allow God to accomplish in us what his desire is for us to do in this world. Now, we haven't talked about first principles, but we certainly will never end a gathering here as long as we're alive without extending the invitation. So if tonight anyone needs to respond in order to be baptized, for asking prayers of strength, encouragement, whatever the case may be, if you need to respond, please do so now. Won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?